As we've done before, I'll announce the hymns and the organ will play, but no audible singing. Let us commence with hymn 727. Oh, that I knew the secret place where I might find my God. I'd spread my wants before his face and pour my woes abroad. Hymn 727.
From the Holy Word of God, we'll read together Deuteronomy chapter 31. Deuteronomy chapter 31. Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel. And he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Also the Lord has said unto me, Thou shalt not go over this Jordan. The Lord thy God, he will go over before thee, and he will destroy these nations from before thee, and thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee, as the Lord hath said. And the Lord shall do unto them as he did to Sihon and to Og, king of the Amorites, and unto the land of them whom he destroyed. And the Lord shall give them up before your face, that ye may do unto them according unto all the commandments which I have commanded you. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Moses called unto Joshua, and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, Be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee, he will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. And Moses wrote this law, and delivered it unto the priests, the sons of Levi, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and unto all the elders of Israel. And Moses commanded them, saying, At the end of every 7 years, in the solemnity of the year of release, in the Feast of Tabernacles, when all Israel is come to appear before the Lord thy God, in the place which he shall choose, thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Gather the people together, men and women and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear and that they may learn and fear the Lord your God, and observe to do all the words of this law. And that their children, which have not known anything, may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God, as long as ye live in the land whither ye go over Jordan to possess it. And the Lord said unto Moses, Behold, thy days approach that thou must die. Call Joshua, and present yourselves in the tabernacle of the congregation, that I may give him a charge. And Moses and Joshua went and presented themselves in the tabernacle of the congregation. And the Lord appeared in the tabernacle in a pillar of cloud. And the pillar of the cloud stood over the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord said unto Moses, Behold, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, and this people will rise up and go a-whoring after the gods of the strangers of the land, whither they go to be among them, and will forsake me and break my covenant which I have made with them. Then my anger shall be kindled against them in that day, and I will forsake them, and I will hide my face from them, and they shall be devoured, and many evils and troubles shall befall them, so that they will say in that day, Are not these evils come upon us, because our God is not among us? And I will surely hide my face in that day for all the evils which they shall have wrought, in that they are turned unto other gods. Now therefore, write ye this song for you, and teach it the children of Israel. Put it in their mouths, that this song may be a witness for me against the children of Israel. For when I shall have brought them into the land which I swear unto their fathers, that floweth with milk and honey, and they shall have eaten and filled themselves, and waxen fat, then will they turn unto other gods and serve them, and provoke me, and break my covenant. And it shall come to pass, when many evils and troubles have befallen them, that this song shall testify against them as a witness. For it shall not be forgotten out of the mouths of their seed. For I know their imagination, which they go about, even now, before I have brought them into the land which I swear. Moses, therefore, wrote this song the same day, and taught it the children of Israel. And he gave Joshua the son of Nun a charge, and said, Be strong and of a good courage, for thou shalt bring the children of Israel into the land which I swear unto them, and I will be with thee. And it came to pass, when Moses had made an end of writing the words of this law in a book, until they were finished, that Moses commanded the Levites, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, saying, Take this book of the law, and put it in the side of the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, that it may be there for a witness against thee. For I know thy rebellion and thy stiff neck. Behold, while I am yet alive with you this day, ye have been rebellious against the Lord, and how much more after my death? Gather unto me all the elders of your tribes and your officers, that I may speak these words in their ears, and call heaven and earth to record against them. For I know that after my death ye will utterly corrupt yourselves and turn aside from the way which I have commanded you. And evil will befall you in the latter days, because ye will do evil in the sight of the Lord, to provoke him to anger through the work of your hands. And Moses spake in the ears of all the congregation of Israel the words of this song until they were ended. May God bless to us that reading of his holy word. May he teach us how to pray. Most merciful and gracious and almighty Lord God in heaven, we do thank thee for this opportunity to meet together in this house of prayer. O Lord, we do pray thy gracious help this evening. We pray thy presence to be known and felt amongst us here. And, Lord, where those are gathered listening in, we pray, Lord, that thou bless each gathering and bless each soul. We pray, Lord, thy gracious help in the service of thy house this evening. We pray to be lifted above the dying things of this world. We pray to be lifted above the unusual circumstances of our worship. Lord, we do pray that thou'lt draw us to thyself. Lord, it is a favour. It is a privilege to meet in thy house of prayer. And Lord, we do pray that in our gathering this evening, that thou wilt get all the honour and the glory, that thou wilt help us to truly worship thee. Lord, we do pray that our hearts and our minds might be drawn to thee in worship, that thou put a song of thanksgiving into our hearts, as we consider the many mercies that are ours, the many favours, Lord, that are given to us day by day. Lord, when we consider how undeserving we are of them. Lord, the world has many blessings and yet there's no acknowledging. They are blinded to see the gracious hand of providence providing for daily needs. But oh, we pray that we may not be of that same carnal mind. We pray that we may not be blinded as they are, but rather we may render praise unto thee for the multitude of thy mercies. Lord, we come before thee, we have so much to thank thee for. We thank thee, Lord, for thy word. We do thank thee, Lord, for enabling us to meet together. We thank thee, Lord, for this opportunity to gather and to worship thee. We thank thee, Lord, for the throne of grace, a place where poor, needy sinners may pour out their hearts before a holy God. Gracious and merciful Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy beloved Son, the Lord Jesus, and that way of acceptance, that name given whereby poor sinners may plead and wrestle and obtain the promises. Oh, we do thank thee for that precious blood which was shed for many. We do praise thee, dear Lord Jesus, for that finished work, that glorious work of redemption, the putting away of the sin of thy people. And we do thank thee and praise thee, dear Holy Spirit, Lord God in heaven, as poor sinners are brought into the knowledge of themselves as sinners, and the Lord Jesus Christ as their only way of salvation. And so we pray that we may know the dear Spirit working amongst us. We pray we may know the power attending the word. We pray we may know the witnessing of thy Spirit within us. Oh, we pray, most gracious God, that thou art touch those mountains of sin which some feel to be burdened with. We pray that thou art grant that removal of guilt and condemnation, and that thou art pour in the love of Christ into many hearts. We pray that we may be blessed with light and liberty and love. O Lord Jesus, we pray that thou art deliver the captives and set free those that are bound by Satan. We pray, Lord, that thou deliver and set free those that are wrapped around with the grave clothes of sin and death. Pray, Lord, that thou make them free. For if the Son shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Keep Satan from us, we pray. Lord, do shut him out of this place. Shut him out of our hearts. Oh, we do pray that thou art cleansed our hearts. Oh, we do pray that thou art draw us away from the things of this world. We pray for that renewing. We pray for restoring. Oh, we pray for the evidences of the new birth in us. Oh, we do pray that sin may be exceeding sinful to us. And Lord Jesus, that thou wilt be the all and in all for each one of us, the one thing needful. Oh, make thyself precious to us. Oh Lord, we do pray, have mercy. Lord, it's mercy we need this evening. Lord, be merciful to us poor sinners here this evening. And grant us some tokens for good. Lord, do
touch hearts and meet cases and speak, Lord, and may there be that commanding of the blessing. Command deliverances for Jacob, even life forevermore. Oh, Lord, we do pray, pour out thy Spirit upon us. And may we, Lord, leave thy house of prayer different to how we came. And so lift up those that are cast down. Strengthen the weak. Confirm those, Lord, who feel tossed about. Those, Lord, who are tempted, we pray, put strength in them. Lord, increase our faith. May we trust thee more. Oh, Lord, we pray, help us. Grant that enabling grace, a submission to thy holy will. Oh, Lord, that we may truly submit to thy will in all things. Lord, we pray, strengthen those, Lord, who feel the struggle day by day. Be with any under particular temptation. Be with any, Lord, with burdens of this life. Lord, those with difficulties and troubles, those things in family, in business, in circumstances. Lord, each heart knows its own bitterness, and we do pray, Lord, that there might be a word in season for one another. But Lord, speak to us. Be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. Oh Lord, may we hear thy voice. Lord, leave us not to come and go week by week. Lord, and never to hear thy voice. Never to know anything personally. But may we be found like dear Job. I know that my Redeemer liveth. Like dear David, the Lord is my shepherd. Grant us, Lord, that personal religion. Lord, may it not be just a knowledge of things in our head. May it, Lord, touch our hearts. May it be even this night, as it was with those on the road to Emmaus. Did not our hearts burn within us as he talked with us by the way? Oh, Lord, we pray. We are fools and slow of heart to believe. Lord, thy mercy knows no bounds. And we look to thee, most gracious God, a God of mercy, a God of compassion, a God of all grace. Oh, look in pity upon us. Lord, do have mercy upon us. And do thou it for thy great name's sake, we pray. Lord, we pray for the children and young people. Lord, we think of the uncertainty of things at present. These remind us, Lord, to us that nothing is certain, or very few things are. But Lord, there is one thing that is certain, and that is that all these things have an end. And Lord, this world has an end, and our lives will have an end. And there's a certainty, Lord, that we must stand before thee, and that we must give an account of the things that we have done in the flesh, both good and bad. And, oh Lord, prepare us for that great day. Prepare us for that great change which must come upon each one of us. And leave us not, Lord, to think there's plenty of time. Oh, Lord, Make us wise unto salvation. Grant us, Lord, that our hearts might be pricked. O Lord, we pray that we may be found seeking for that mercy and pleading for that help and that deliverance. O Lord, we pray that each one of us may prove that we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. We pray for the children, Lord, with things that have been cancelled or postponed. We pray for them, Lord, as they some are resuming school again in September and all the disruption that they've had. We pray for parents, Lord, with difficulties, and we ask, Lord, that thou grant them wisdom and grace. Oh, Lord, we pray for those with business concerns that their eyes might be up unto thee. Lord, there's so much which concerns us. We do thank thee for the measure of deliverance and the easing of the restrictions that are upon us because of the virus. But Lord, we are ripe for thy judgments. Oh Lord, we do pray, much wrath, remember mercy. We pray, Lord, it might please thee to remove this virus from us in whatever way thou wilt. But oh, we do pray, spare this guilty land. And Lord, rather, pour out thy blessing upon our leaders, upon those in authority, our royal family, our prime minister and government, Lord, that there might be that change in direction for this country, which seems to be sliding further and further into sin. Lord, we pray, have mercy upon us. O Lord, revive thy work. O Lord, do stir up thy people. O may there be a spirit of wrestling prayer. May there be some Nehemiahs, who sigh and cry over the desolations of Jerusalem. Lord, we do pray, have mercy in these things. Spare us and remember us and bless us. Bless the churches. Lord, bless thy servants. Help them, equip them, send forth labourers into the harvest. Oh, glorify thyself, we pray, in salvation. Remember the church and congregation here. Unite them in one heart and one mind to serve the living God. Lord, deliver us each from those besetting sins, from serving the idols of self and the world around us. Lord, do put thy hand upon us and keep us day by day. Bless the church, Lord. Grant them unity, and may they endeavour to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Bless the brother deacons, Lord, as they labour, and do grant them encouragements, we pray, as they seek to continue. Bless the ministry of thy gospel here. Bless the means, Lord, of listening over the internet. O Lord, who followeth thy blessing, gather in from this congregation into the church, and from this neighbourhood into this place. O Lord, we pray. So help us now as we turn to thy word. O Lord, may it be a living word. O may it be food for our souls. May it be something to think upon, to pray over, to take home, to live on in the coming days. O Lord, we ask, help us now and forgive us our every sin. And forgive us those things we've asked amiss. O Lord, we pray, take away all our iniquities. Receive us graciously, as we ask, Lord Jesus, in thy name. Amen.
Hymn 961. Be still, my heart, these anxious cares. To thee are burdens, thorns, and snares. They cast dishonour on thy Lord and contradict his gracious word. Hymn 961.
Turn with me to the chapter we read, Deuteronomy chapter 31. With the Lord's help this evening, I'll speak to you from verse 8. Deuteronomy chapter 31 and the 8th verse. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Deuteronomy chapter 31 and the 8th verse. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. There was a great work lying before Joshua. The children of Israel were to cross the River Jordan and enter into the Promised Land. The generation of murmurers that had belittled and despised the Promised Land 40 years before had perished in the wilderness. And now it was the Lord's time for them to cross and take possession of the Promised Land. Really, in a way, what lay before was of greater difficulty than what they had already faced. Yes, they'd been Pharaoh had resisted in letting go the children of Israel from Egypt, and yes, there was difficulties and troubles in the wilderness. But what lay before them was the driving out of the enemy and the taking possession of the Promised Land. And really, on top of all this, Moses had informed the people that he would not be going with them. And the chapter we read, he began by speaking to them, saying, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Also the Lord has said unto me, thou shalt not go over this Jordan. And Moses had been really the leader, hadn't he, of the children of Israel. He had been sent by God to be the means to lead them from Egypt. And he had led them from Egypt, and he had been with them every day in that wilderness journey. It would be with much fear and trepidation that the children of Israel would hear that Moses would not go with them, given how much lay before them, the unknown way. The original report of the spies spoke of the enemy, the fenced cities, the giants that were in the land. And yet Moses, this great leader, the one who had, in a way, been a mediator between God and them, who had prayed earnestly for them and on their behalf, who had made intercession, in a shadowy way, been a type of the Lord Jesus, standing between the breach, between God and the children of Israel. Well, this great man, and he was a great man, was to walk no more with them. And that there was an encouragement, an encouraging word, first given to the children of Israel. The Lord, he reminds them of what the Lord did for them, to those kings of the Amorites, and how he had delivered them in the battles that they had this side of Jordan. And he encourages them, be strong, verse 6, be strong and of a good courage, fear not nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. I'm not to go with you, but
he is. And the children of Israel to look beyond Moses, to look above Moses, and to look at the God, look to the God who had so wonderfully helped them. And he that had helped them hitherto will help them all their journey through. And then Moses, he speaks to Joshua. Because it's Joshua who has, he's got to take the charge of the people. He's to be the next leader. Well, you can imagine, I'm sure, how this dear man felt. A great and eminent man like Moses to no more be with them, and he to stand in his place. And Joshua calls, Moses calls Joshua, and be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord has sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. What a burden! What a great thing that was given to Joshua. And didn't he need these words from the Lord through the dear servant Moses and the Lord? Here it is that doth go before thee. Not me, Moses, not me, Joshua, but the Lord. The Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. You know, Moses had proved, hadn't he, that the faithfulness of his God, you know, look right back to his birth and the wonderful way the Lord watched over him. In the bulrushes, in that little basket, and then in the house of Pharaoh, and then in those wanderings in the backside of the desert. And when that call came to him, the Lord met him at the bush, the burning bush. Certainly I will be with thee. And Moses could give testimony the Lord's faithfulness to that word. He had never failed him. There was much on the part of Moses which he would be ashamed of. And we're not throwing stones, we're not casting anything at Moses, but you know, that he had his failings, didn't he? But his God, oh, the faithfulness of his God, how he was faithful to his promise. Moses could say, he it is that doth go before thee. He couldn't wish for anything better than the Lord, his God, to be going with Joshua. Joshua needed nothing else. No, it would be no good to have Moses without the God of Moses. Oh, Joshua had everything. Though he felt, no doubt, his weakness, felt insufficient, felt the weight of the matter, the burden of it, shrank from the difficulty of it, how things were unknown to him. Yet he it is that doth go before thee. Oh, be a wonderful thing if you and I are blessed with this same blessing. This blessing that was for the children of Israel, this blessing that was for Joshua, this blessing which is for every child of God. The Lord is with them. The Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. David knew something of it, didn't he? He said, the Lord is my shepherd. He leadeth me. He doesn't drive me, he leads me. And we're reminded, aren't we, in the Gospel of John, when he putteth forth his sheep, he goeth before them. And here the Lord was to go before Joshua. He was to go before, he was to make the crooked places straight. He was to cut in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. He was to go before and make a way for them and make a way where there seemed to be at times no way. He it is that doth go before thee. Is that what you need this evening? This great good shepherd, the Lord God of Israel, to go before you. Oh, you're this side of Jordan. And what lies before you? Well, there was straight away an impossibility, wasn't there? At the crossing of the River Jordan. And what lay the other side? Jericho, that great city. Oh, the clouds that were hanging over. And yet, he it is that doth go before thee. Do you believe he's able to part the River Jordan for you? That impossible thing that lies before you? The power of his voice to deliver you and make a way? When the river's overflowing its bank, you know, beloved friends, he doesn't need to make it easy to perform his way. Oh, don't be surprised if you come to your River Jordan and it's like it was for Joshua. It was the season when the banks were overflowing. It wouldn't be the dry season, would it? There wouldn't be a drought. The Lord will show his power. The Lord will make a way. Oh, and you and I to stand still and see the deliverance. Oh, watch on as his gracious hand makes a way for us. The Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. And what can stand in your way? If the Lord is going before you, what could stand in the way of Joshua and the children of Israel? Well, there was plenty of things that were seemingly obstructing their way. But one by one, as they got there, each one was made away. The Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. That the Creator of heaven and earth, that the one who has all power over all things. Oh, may when we come to difficult times in our lives, may the Lord draw us to a view of his majesty and holiness, and how he sitteth in heaven above, on the throne, the Lord God omnipotent reigning. When we come to prayer, oh, may he give us a view by faith of his holiness, his majesty and his power. Thou art coming to a king. Large petitions with thee bring. A God of impossibilities. That the one who said to Jeremiah, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Not who can speak such language except God himself? Is there anything too hard for me? There plenty of things that were hard for Joshua. Plenty of impossible things. Nothing impossible for his God. And his God was to go before him. And one by one, the deliverances came. You only have to turn into the book of Joshua, chapter 23, and verse 14. And Joshua is now at the end of his life.
As Moses was then in Deuteronomy, Joshua is in this chapter. And he's speaking to the children of Israel. And he says this, "And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. And ye know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you." That is wonderful, isn't it? At the end of his life, what an eventful life. A life which wasn't easy. A life which was full of hazards and difficulties and troubles. Yet he was able to say and to remind the children of Israel that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. Again, they had failed. They had failed time and time again. You and I, in your little lives, we will fail. Oh, may God forgive us our many failings. Oh, may we not seek to make excuses for ourselves, but we are poor, failing creatures. Oh, we are sinners. And though we may be called by grace and blessed with the knowledge of the forgiveness of our sins, we are not perfect, and we have hearts that are prone to sin. And we need the power of the Lord to keep us day by day. But we will fail. We do fail. But he fails not. Oh, he's unchanging. His word cannot fail. His promise cannot fail. And he said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Paul quotes it, doesn't he? In the book of Hebrews. "Be content with such things as ye have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." And Paul's quoting from Joshua chapter 1, verse 5, when we read, "So I will be with thee, I will not fail thee nor forsake thee." Promise given to Joshua, a promise to every child of God. He will never leave us. "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Oh, there's a, you know, beloved friends, there's a ground for us to rest on here. You know, in your sin and misery, when you look at your failings, oh, there's one to look to this evening. One who fails not. You know, the hymn writer says, doesn't he? "Pour not on yourself too long, lest it sink thee lower. Look to Jesus, kind as strong. Mercy joined with power. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." The Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. The God of the bush. The I am that I am. The Lord God, omnipotent, reigning. You know, you may have things, you may have people, you may have circumstances. Who can stand? Who can stand before your God? He has the hearts of all men in his hand. There's nothing. The law of physics, things of creation, they can't stand. Sooner all nature shall change than one of God's promises fail. Beloved friends, said, there's nothing can stand in the way of God's word and his promise. Oh, he's able, like he did with Elijah. He's able to turn even the ravens
from being scavengers to bringing his dear servant bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening? Can he not sustain you? Are ye not of more value than many sparrows? Ah, oh, your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Oh, we're to take no thought for tomorrow. Oh, we get so overrun, don't we, at times, with fretting for this and worrying about that. And does the worrying and the fretting change anything? Does it? Prayer changes things. Oh, a God of all grace, he changes things. He has the outcome in his gracious hands. Oh, he has the power to turn the curse into a blessing. Oh, then may you and I cast all our care upon him. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. He it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. Despite your sin and failing and shortcoming, he will be with thee. You know, what we have here is a union, don't we? That's what's set before us. A union, a bond. And it's between God and his people. Between God and Joshua. Maybe between God and you. This union which cannot be broken. The Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. But we're fearful creatures. The sad thing is, beloved friends, we're sinners, aren't we? And we're full of unbelief. You say, well, my unbelief, it comes from a sense of unworthiness. Well, maybe it does. But beloved friends, when you and I question, when we question his love, when we read his promises and we feel some comfort from them, and then the next morning or the next day or the next week we find ourselves shaking and fearing, what have we done? Oh, we've lost sight of the promise. We've overlooked his word. Maybe we thought in our minds, he's not able. He's not able to bring us through. Maybe you're looking at your own heart and you say, this is an obstacle. My sin is a hindrance. My guilt, my unworthiness. He's not able. He's not able to overcome this. He's not able to be gracious to me. I'm so sinful. Oh, may we not lose sight of the God of mercy. Oh, he's full of mercy, full of compassion. Isaiah says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. You know, friends, we are greatly favoured. Moses, the children of Israel, Joshua. At best, they could only look forward shadowily and dimly to the coming of the Lord Jesus. What was revealed to them through the worship that God had given them pointed to the coming of the Lord Jesus. But still, still this word a great comfort, because they could look back and the Lord that was spoken of, the Lord whose promises these were, had been in that pillar of cloud and fire and had parted the Red Sea and had delivered them from Egypt. But beloved friends, we look back, don't we, when we read the word of God, and what do we see? We see more than the God of Moses, the God of Joshua. Oh, what do we see in the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ? We see the fulfilling of the promise of God. God sending his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. God sending his Son. The Lord Jesus making himself of no reputation. A type of Joshua, but greater, far excelling, far exceeding Joshua, the Lord Jesus Christ, coming into this sinful world, living a life as a real man, suffering, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, living a life that would be the perfect hiding place, the perfect refuge, the perfect covering, the perfect robe in which to cover his guilty people. And the sacrifice, the shedding of that precious blood, his sin atoning death and sufferings, all those things that Moses and Joshua and the children of Israel had seen in the lamb and the scapegoat, and the burnt offerings and the sin offerings and the trespass offerings, all of it was fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus. He it is that doth go before thee. The children of Israel, the Lord entered into a covenant with them. It's do this and live, isn't it? That sums up the covenant. The covenant made with the children of Israel is do this and live. What is the gospel? The gospel says live and do this. Though the gospel speaks of life, freely given, not on man's merits. Yes, there's works which will be done, but it's live and do this and obey the commands of the gospel and be obedient to the commands of the gospel and to live by the rule of the gospel. But it's life first. It's a life-giving gospel. And it gives life. Oh, the life of the Lord Jesus. Because I live, ye shall live also. The Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. I wonder if the Jordan that concerns you and me this evening, oh, it is that which is typified by the Jordan of the children of Israel. Is it the day of your death which hangs heavy upon you? Is it the cold, icy waters of death, oh, which are such a trouble to you this evening? The Lord Jesus, he it is that doth go before thee. May the Lord, as you've brought to view your death, and that great change that's got to come upon each one of us, oh, the uncertainty of it. How shall I do in the swellings of Jordan? It's overflowing its banks. You're viewing it now and you can't see a way through it. Oh, you've a little hope in your heart, maybe, of the promised land which lies the other side. You've had a few tokens. You've seen a few of the fruits of it, but oh, you've got this great expanse that lies between, and you can't see, can you? It's overflowing its banks. Where's the way for you to walk? How will you not be washed away, swept away? How will you not sink in those icy waters of death to be raised no more? How can you close your eyes on this world and open them in the next? What hope is there for you? What hope is for me? Well, there's hope in Jesus. He's gone on before his people. You know those feet of the priests as they carried the ark, touched the water. The ark of God. Oh, that typified, didn't it, the Lord Jesus? The mercy seat. The cherubims. Looking inward onto the mercy seat. There will I meet with thee. The blood-sprinkled mercy seat. Typifying the Lord Jesus himself. When those feet of the priest touched the water. When they got to that water. As they approached it, it didn't part. Their feet touched the water. And the waters parted. And they went through. And the people went through on dry land. The Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. Oh, that you might see the Lord Jesus going before you, making a way for you. Yes, it's comfortable and comforting, isn't it, to see him making a way in this life, to see him ordering things and answering prayer. Surely we want all of those things to point to that great and final test of our faith. Oh, well, don't we want the encouragement, the assurance, the full assurance of faith, the full assurance of knowledge, which Paul writes of. Knowledge that Jesus lived and died for us. Fear not. For I have redeemed thee, paid the price, removed that great mountain of sin, paid the debt which you cannot pay. You're bankrupt, you're ruined, you're lost without him. Oh, but he's paid that debt. Nothing to pay. You 500 pence sinners this evening, nothing. All paid. Oh, that dear God-man, suffering, bleeding and dying. Oh, that you might be justified. You might, oh, have that good hope through grace. You might have that peace with God. The Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. He will be with thee. Oh, you fear he won't be. He must be. You know, he cannot. He cannot not be with his people. Oh, he can't forsake his people. He can't. You know, beloved friends, there is a firm foundation for our hope and our faith this evening. Oh, in this glorious God-man, the Lord Jesus, is Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever? And if your poor sinful soul has ever felt a little touch of the mercy and love of God, Beloved friends, he cannot leave you and forsake you. Oh, he may hide his face at times. He may show his displeasure at your sin. He may lay the rod on you. But it's not in anger. It's in love. Oh, he cannot deny himself and his word, and he cannot forsake his people. There is a union which cannot be broken. It was formed in that covenant of grace before this world had its being. And there's nothing that comes in this world which can alter it. Not even your wicked heart, your treacherous heart, your weak heart, not even your unbelieving heart. Oh, what a union that is. He will be with thee. He will be with thee. Oh, didn't dear Peter prove it? You know, that dear apostle warned of the Lord Jesus, that his, in a way, his love really didn't match his faith, did it? It was to prove the weakness of his faith and prove that he couldn't rely on his own love to carry him through. But what could he rest on? He could rest on the faithfulness of God. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Not utterly. Oh, his pride would be stained. Peter would be humbled. Peter would learn what it is to be ashamed of his master. But he couldn't sink beneath and fall out of those everlasting arms. Oh, it's a covenant ordered in all things and sure. And although he sinned and denied his master with oaths and curses, though he was ashamed of his master, he joined with those that despised, didn't he? He was ashamed to identify himself with the one whom we know he loved so dearly, left to himself. Yet, beloved friends, oh, how he was restored, wasn't he? He went out and wept bitterly. Bitter tears, bitter sorrow. The Lord, oh, didn't he restore him? When thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Lovest thou me? He will be with thee. He will not fail thee. Poor Peter failed him, didn't he? But he proved him. You know, if a dear man of God, he knew, didn't he? When he wrote that first epistle, Peter's first epistle in chapter 4, he says this: let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. Oh, how he must have wept writing that. Let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf. Oh, the restoring mercies of God. How Peter's faith was increased. How Peter was strengthened. How Peter proved the unchanging love of God. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. fear not, neither be dismayed. Oh, don't be overly concerned. Don't be discouraged. Don't be dismayed. Oh, Satan, he's the father of lies. He's always been a liar. He's telling you the Lord will give you up at last. He can't love you. You've sinned yourself out of his love. Now the hymn writer says to me, he viewed me, he saw me ruined in the fall, yet loved me not withstanding all. He took account of the whole of the life of his people, from the day of their birth to the day of their death. He made provision. Oh, that precious blood which he shed, he washed the whole of their life. He washed their soul clean. When he rose triumphant from the grave, he rose without sin. He was a great sin bearer at Calvary. He had that great sin weighing upon him of this church, not his own, that which was put upon him. For him to bear as a sin bearer, he was made a curse, wasn't he? He bore the shame and the suffering and the punishment due to his people. And he took it all away. And there was nothing left. And when he rose from the dead, by the power of the Father, there was nothing. Nothing left. Nothing left. All of it was gone. Not one sin left. Nothing. All gone. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? What can he withhold? What will he not give you? If he doesn't give you something, it's because you don't need it. What can he withhold that you really need? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who is it that's troubling you? Who is it? Who is it that's bringing your sin before you again? Who is it that's trying to wrap you up in chains? The Son shall make you free. He shall be free indeed. Why is it then that you're bound up in bondage again for sins that you've laid upon him? You've cried unto him, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Who is trying to lay these things again to your charge? It is God that justifieth, not you, not your life. That's not what's laid before God and made you acceptable. Nothing that you've done can make you acceptable. It's God that justifies. He sent his Son because his church, his beloved bride, needed him. Needed him. Because they're ruined and they've got nothing acceptable. And any good in them is from the Lord and from him only. And they've got nothing to bring that will in any way offset any sin. Jesus has paid. It's God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? Who is it that's bringing this sentence? Who is it that's making you question? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again. Oh, there's the satisfaction. There's your answer this evening. A risen Saviour. God, well pleased with his Son. And he looks upon his people through his Son. And they're seen in him. And they're seen as holy and unblameable and unreprovable. Who is Christ that died, yea, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who maketh intercession for us. He's in heaven. He's your representative. He's your representative at the throne of God. And his wounds are there and they're seen. And they speak peace and pardon and life. They speak forgiveness. They obtain the answers and the blessings for us. The Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. Once crucified, now risen, exalted Saviour, glorious God-man, with hands which are pierced and feet which are pierced, who bears the marks of the deliverance of his poor, guilty people, he will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. May God add his blessing. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Chapman is expected to preach next Lord's Day and Mr. John Rosier next Tuesday evening. And now let us close with hymn 1076. 1076. Jesus, in whom the Godheads raise, beam forth with mildest majesty, I see thee full of truth and grace, and come for all I want to thee. Hymn 1076.
Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, and the fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and for evermore. Amen.